Hello, everyone, everywhere. Much of the grace, peace, and mercy of our Father Yahweh to you today, and welcome. I am going to talk a little bit about circumcision today, not a favorite topic of mine. However, I do have this sense in my spirit that I need to go in this direction. And although I'm not really sure why, you know, it's not like I'm some authority on the subject, but I'm going to go ahead and see what comes of it. And I hope that eventually we'll wind up talking a little bit about the circumcision of the heart, which I think is most important, however, does not invalidate the physical circumcision, and hopefully we won't spend too much time on that after I give you the scriptures that I believe Father wants me to share with you today. So let's start, of course, with the father of our faith, Abraham. We know that his faith was counted to him for righteousness. But we also find that the physical circumcision didn't come for him for several years later. Genesis 12 and 4 says, "So Abram departed as Yahweh had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Genesis 17, I'm going to read 9 through 11. "And Yahweh said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep thy covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you." Now skip to 24, verse 24. "And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin." We see another circumcision with the children of Jacob or Israel in the wilderness. Joshua 5, starting at the 5th verse, it says, "Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Yahweh, unto whom Yahweh swore that he would not show them the land, which Yahweh swore unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that flowed with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way." Also, we see that Paul circumcised Timothy in Acts 16. "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of," Timotheus was well reported of, "by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was Greek. I know that there's a big misunderstanding about what Paul is saying with some of us concerning circumcision, and many believe that he said physical circumcision was no longer valid and that it was only of the heart. However, I believe that Paul's point, which he had more than just one point, that it's not about if you should be circumcised, but when you should be circumcised. And that is between father and that man. And also that one of Paul's points was that you're not being circumcised just to become a Jew or to be accepted in the Jewish community, and that you're not being circumcised because you think that's how you're going to be saved. Circumcision is a command, and we read that. We at least read part of that in the last broadcast. But one of the things that I wanted to say right here, anyone who knows the first five books of the Bible, the traditional Torah, knows that circumcision was a command. And anyone who knew Torah when these letters were written knew that. And I think that's how many have missed the Torah connection to the renewed covenant. Paul knew Torah. He also knew the oral law of the Pharisees well. Remember, he said, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day. Remember that scripture? And of the tribe of Benjamin. So he knew his stuff. But he saw it through the eyes of the oral law. And I did a series back in 2008. It's still on Podomatic. It's talking about the two schools of thought, the school of Hillel and the school of Shammai, and the halakhic traditions of the elders. Yeshua talked about the traditions of the fathers. That's another thing we kind of touched on in last broadcast. I don't know if because of the wording in Acts 16, it kind of makes it sound as if, well, Paul circumcised Timothy because the particular Jews that were there, they knew that his father was a Greek. It was kind of like to avoid controversy or to avoid confrontation, he circumcised Timothy. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe they were giving reference to Ezekiel's vision in Ezekiel 44. You know, I always say read it all so that you can get the context of the point. But hopefully it kind of connects the Torah and the renewed covenant to help us to understand that we can't just do away with Father's instructions and say that it's Yeshua's fault or it's Paul's fault. Because we know that Yeshua said in Matthew 5:17, don't think that he came to do away with Torah. He said he did not come to abolish Torah, but he came to fulfill it. And to fulfill, it means to show us how to keep Father's instructions in the manner in which he purposed it to be kept. Not abolish, but to do it right. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this is what the Jews were thinking. I don't know. But in Ezekiel 44:7, it says, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it. Even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat, and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. You have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith Yahweh, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. So one thing that we are sure about is that we don't hear Timothy kicking up any dust about being circumcised. Okay, at least that part. If it happened, we don't know about it. What we do know is that he did get circumcised. Another thing we know for sure, too, is that if you go back to Acts chapter 15, the very first verse says that certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So it could be that they were misinterpreting Ezekiel's vision. I personally believe that there is a progression into salvation. We are saved by faith through grace, and that's the basics. But then in order to walk in that place that the Father has for your, that you are destined, predestined, because you have received him, then you have to obey. You have to hear and you have to do what you hear. And in that progression, in that coming closer, you just, there are times that I've been in prayer and Father had me right where he wanted me. I just tell me, I'll do anything you say. You know what I mean? And we know that it's not true that you need to be circumcised to be saved. Because if you go ahead down into that verse, Peter stood up and he started talking about how, look, there's no difference. Yahweh, God, didn't put any difference between us and them. He filled them with the Holy Spirit just like he did with us. And we kind of touched on that last broadcast, that Father didn't make any difference between Jew or Greek when they received him. It was that circumcision of the heart that was most important. He even said it in Ezekiel 44, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh. So we know it comes first. It came first for Abraham, right? Came first for Timothy. Came first for those who died off because they did not obey Father. It came first for their offspring because they were not, they had to wait for the unbelieving to die off, unfortunately. So we know that, by the way, when you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, you are no longer a Gentile. We also know that the law of Yahweh seemed to differ from what the Pharisees and other of the Jews interpreted Father's instructions. It was not the same, is what I'm trying to say. We know for sure that what they were talking about and what they were preaching and pushing was not the law of Yahweh, or Yeshua wouldn't have had such opposition with them because of their hypocritical behavior and their lack of understanding and their inability to be able to hear. So it's up to us to find out what laws the Pharisees argued, because they had their own ideas about things, the way things were to be done, like the Sabbath day. They had their own idea. They had their own ideas about divorce, for example, right? And when we read our Bibles and we see something that appears to be contradictory, those statements, those things need to be studied out for truth's sake. We are to study in order to show ourselves approved of Yahweh, so that the work that we're doing here, we're not going to be ashamed of in that day when he returns and it's time to get rewarded. So don't just be convinced because someone taught you that Yeshua did away with the Torah or the law of Moses, or Paul went against Yahweh's Torah, because it wasn't true. It's just a misunderstanding. And for years, because I've been in this thing for a long time, but it wasn't until, and bits of pieces were coming, but it really wasn't until recently. And I know it had to be because I came out of that system. See, my heart and my ears were covered up with a whole bunch of erroneous teaching. And even though I could see with my eyes the connections, it was hard to make the connection in my heart because it was so dull from being covered up with all of those erroneous teachings and man-made doctrines. So Peter talks about, when he talks about the resurrection and Yeshua's coming, he talks about the letters of Paul, and he says in 2 Peter 3, you see, he's talking about the new heavens, the new earth. Start at 14. It says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of Adonai is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles," talking about Paul, "speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned." See, many of us are unlearned in the old covenant and seeing how it connects or flows all the way through to the renewed covenant. So he says, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. When I use the word religion or organized religion or institutionalized church, this is what I mean. This kind of stuff where, like with Paul, trying to clarify this whole circumcision thing. In order to join man's religious organization or community, you had to go through an initiation or a conversion process. And one of the things was physical circumcision. And, you know, after looking into some of the information that's out there, I mean, there are, and I've said this before, you can go to any library, you can look up online. One website I've used was Judaism 101. Gives you a really good idea of the basics of Judaism. Because from what I understand, the Pharisees of Yeshua's day are like the Orthodox Jews today. There's just so many other resources, historical resources, that help us to understand better. Start digging. Dig deep so you can lay a good foundation, right? So anyway, you have to kind of go through this conversion process. And I was reading some stuff and I found that the Pharisees had at least three kinds of circumcisions. And I'm still not really sure, and this is no disrespect to the Jews, I'm still not sure if any of them really had anything to do with Yahweh's way of thinking, because it's kind of, what does it mean? Like Paul said, you know, whether it's circumcision or non-circumcision, if it's not of the heart, what does it mean? So it had more to do with, you know, becoming accepted into Jewry and being accepted into the community to this day. You know, who cares if your heart is right or not? Just get these practices down, do this, that, and that's the prize. And people will have you thinking that this is what you have to do in order to be, quote, saved, unquote. That you must convert to one of, you know, to Jew or Judaism or one of its many sects. And it's the same with any group, any sorority, any fraternity, any secret society, Baptist, Methodist, Christian, Presbyterian, you name it. You know, although with this all-inclusive gospel, maybe all you have to do is just show up and pay. But you're going to pay with your life. Whether you acclimate to the certain patterns of thinking and behavior that have to do with isms, or you do it Father's way through Yeshua, the perfect, the express image of Father's likeness. We know that these types of things are sometimes, it's very innocently and ignorantly passed down from one generation to another. We know that. But on the other hand, it can be a blatant action for control. I think about all of the people who run after signs and wonders, all of the people who run after all of these people who say that they are Jesus personified, Jesus in the flesh, and they've got all these people running after them. I do not, by the grace of Abba, want to find myself or any of my family members or anyone at all down in Guyana somewhere drinking poison Kool-Aid because of putting our lives in someone else's hands and not knowing the word. Jim Jones carried a Bible. Overall, the truth is you follow behind somebody and you don't know Father for yourself and you're not drawing nearer to him, it makes you a brick. It makes you a brick and not a stone. Remember Babel's Tower? You know, no two stones are exactly the same, but bricks, they all look alike. They all look exactly the same because they go through this man-made process designed to fit in a certain way. I want to be a lively stone. I want to have the personality that Father has given me. I want him to be the one that adjusts it and corrects it according to his spirit and his word and his leadership. I don't want to be a religious brick. fired by a man-made process for his or her man-made purpose of who or what I should be. It's our profession. It's our job, if we care about our own soul, to find out what Father has said and is saying for ourselves. By the way, I'm not sure if you know there's a man that has successfully gotten enough signatures to propose outlawing circumcision in San Francisco. And I read that it's going to be on the ballot in November with no religious exceptions allowed. I find that very interesting. So as we continue to talk on this subject or whatever subjects that, like I told you, I don't know which way I'm going with this, but what I would like to do is to touch more so on the maturity and the progression that circumcision shows in relationship to Abba. Like with Abraham, it was years later because of the relationship of trust, the bond that was built between them. That maturing and progressing in this relationship, it's a part of our heart being circumcised. And that tenderness, that hearing Father and obeying Father and messing up and getting it right and messing up and getting it right, it helps us not just to give up physical foreskin for a man, but anything or anyone that Abba tells us to give up or to cut off. I know of a man who, at the time, he was in his 40s when he decided to be circumcised, and his answer for doing it was simply because, quote, God commanded it, unquote. Yet he lived a lawless life without fear when it came to all the other of Yahweh's commands. And I've also seen men struggle with the idea of being circumcised at a later age, and that's understandable. But I know, like with anything, when we're in love, we do what's necessary. And the reason I knew that they were struggling was because they seemed to really desperately look for loopholes in scripture to say it was heart only, when they knew and they believed differently. They believed that it was not just heart, but it was in the flesh also. And from the majority of the conversations that I've read and a couple of forums that I was in and have heard in doctor's offices, the ones that are making the biggest hoopla about circumcision are the ones who have no memory of being circumcised. And their chests are all poked out and they're talking, you know, they're just talking like it was their decision that they made as a newborn to go into covenant with Yahweh. You know, pride, that, it just really stinks. It gives me a sick stomach. Okay, now some of you probably saying, Robin, you sit around talking to men about circumcision? No, but I have had this conversation and I've overheard these conversations having been in the medical field. It's not just about hygiene. For some, they do question how it relates to Yahweh and it being a sign of Yahweh's covenant. It's not just about how a person interprets their own faith, but how they respond to Father having written his words on our hearts and how our heart mirrors his words. It should show in our lifestyle, right? It should show out in our lives. But first we have to hear. And Abraham heard and he believed. And when I say hear, I'm talking about the hearing that causes you to obey. You know, about 5 years ago, I heard no more seafood. Now I was raised fishing and crabbing. And I was just talking to my father about 2 days ago about his latest boat he was selling. My favorite food was seafood. But I knew exactly who was speaking to me and what he meant when he said it. And it didn't matter that it was my favorite food in the whole wide world. And I can say that because I didn't suffer any withdrawals and I haven't had any unclean food that I know about. See, I don't believe that Father tells us to give up something without having already given us the grace to do it. He is such a lover of our souls. He pursues us by his own grace towards us. And it is by that grace through faith that we are initially saved. Exodus 19:5, Father says to Moses to tell the house of Jacob and the children of Israel, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant." To obey in the Hebrew is to hear, to perceive by ear, to have the power to hear with pleasure, to obey. My voice indeed, keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. How do we become his peculiar treasure? Above all people, his kingdom of priests and a holy nation? By obeying his voice and keeping his covenant. How do we know what his covenant is? We can't scramble up and look over the things that Yeshua said and come up with our own understanding. We have to go back to the beginning. Abraham, he heard and he obeyed. Genesis 26:4-5. And this is for people who also claim that Abraham is the father of their faith, yet say that the commands of Yahweh are a grievous law that we don't keep today. It says, "And I shall increase your seed like the stars of the heavens, and I shall give all these lands to your seed, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and guarded my charge, my commands, my laws, and my teaching." Obviously, Abraham was being told how to live. Who told Adam about sacrifices? How did he teach his children if Father hadn't already told him? Galatians tells us it was 430 years before Moses received the law, the written law, and Abraham was already keeping it. So did he get everything spot on point all the time? No. In spite of every last one of us, Father does not break his promises to us. Yeshua was the promise of Abraham's lineage. He's always working around us when we sincerely repent for the wrong we do. And although we don't know, okay, maybe you know how to keep Torah perfectly, but I don't. I'm speak for myself. Although I don't know how to keep Torah perfectly, it doesn't give me the right to be sloppy in my relationship to him and others, or just outright sin. Romans says, "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Yahweh forbid. Who you yield yourselves as servants to obey, that's who you become the servant of. Either sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But thank Yahweh that we were the servants of sin, but we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered us." What doctrine would that be? Yeshua's doctrine, maybe? The doctrine of the one who sent him? He said his doctrine was not his own, but of the one who sent him. And what did he preach? What did he teach? Repent, for the reign of the heavens has drawn near. The more we guard our relationship to him and others, and the more understanding we come into, and the more our spiritual senses are exercised, the more we grow in grace, stature, and wisdom. I think one of the things that can be confusing, we know that Father is not the Elohim of confusion, that has seemed to confuse people, is not being able to make that connection between the old and the renewed. And somehow the thinking is you're either exclusively in faith under grace, like there was no grace in the Old Testament. That's not true. Or you're under this grievous law of the old. And James warns us against false balances in the way we treat one another when he says that faith, if it hasn't got any works, is dead, alone, being alone. And one man can say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God? You do well. The devils believe and they tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. He's like, I'm trying to tell you, you don't understand. They are not mutually exclusive. You don't have the truth in this. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Do you see that the belief he had was working with his works? And by the works, his belief was perfected? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? I think that this right here should help us to see that Father's Torah, his instructions for guidance and direction in our lives, not salvation, are a necessary part of our faith and of our faith being perfected. Let's just start with the Ten Commandments. Okay. I want so much that my faith be perfected in him. Years and years of holding on to promises that have nothing to do with things or wealth or finances, but most importantly with family and people who were good to me that didn't even know Father. And of course, everyone that I come in contact with and that I don't know, I truly desire to see them take this journey. One thing I do know for sure, those of us who call ourselves believers in Yeshua as Messiah should find out what we believe, put it up against our lifestyle, and see if it fits.
It has.